May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the law, will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. Hymn 113.
Readings this morning are firstly from the second book of Kings, a part of chapter 7, and then Luke chapter 17. We commence with the second book of Kings, chapter 7, and reading the first 11 verses. This account comes at the time when the northern kingdom, and particularly the capital Samaria, was besieged by the Assyrian army, and there was a great famine in the land. Chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say, We will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then said they one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Then if you would turn on to the gospel as recorded by Luke, and we'll read together chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Then said he, that is Jesus, unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offences will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth one out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. May the Lord bless his own word to us and help us each to pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before thee once again upon this thy day. Lord, we would come to thee with a thankful heart for thy goodness and thy many mercies toward us each. We thank thee, Lord, for the glorious day that we are met upon. We see around us the beauty and the power of thy creation. And Lord, we would praise thee for these things. Lord, let us not take even this for granted or pass it by in silence. May we, O Lord, acknowledge thy hand. And as we think, Lord, how thou didst simply speak and these things came into existence, where there was nothing before and thou didst speak, and then there was light, and then there was life, and all these things that we now see around us. Lord, we cannot comprehend thy majesty and thy power, but we would rejoice in it. We would acknowledge that thou art the God alone. Thou only hast done these things. Lord, help us to come then before thee in humility, but with that desire to acknowledge thy greatness and thy power. We would thank thee, Lord, for thy day, a day to be set apart from the other days of the week and the busyness and the cares and the concerns that so occupy us and fill our minds and take our energies in all these other things. Lord, do grant that we may be separated from them. Lord, we need thy help. We need that indwelling of thy Spirit, for though we may be physically separated from these things, yet we bring so many of them with us into thy house, in our minds. But Lord, we pray that thou would separate these things and put them in their proper place. Take them away from our thoughts at this time, that as we come together, we may do so for worship and to glorify thee. Lord, we do pray then for the help that we each need in the services of this day. Lord, we have rightly come. We have rightly come with that outward appearance of reverence and respect to Thee. We have come to the place that Thou hast provided for us, and we thank Thee for the continuance of the various places of worship where we may freely meet together. But Lord, Thou art the one who does look upon our hearts. Thou art not deceived by a solemn appearance where there is a careless heart beneath. We do ask, Lord, that Thou wilt fit us truly to come before Thee today, that we may come with a sense of our need. Lord, do reveal to each soul how we stand in Thy sight. For Thy word tells us clearly there is none righteous, no, not one. Lord, we cannot be the exception, for there are no exceptions. There are none that are holy, none that are pure, none that are without sin. Lord, how many in the world are not aware of how they really stand in Thy sight. Lord, may we not be deceived, may we not be blinded by Satan, by the many distractions that this world offers. Lord, do reveal to us what is the condition of our soul before Thee, how we are guilty. Lord, we have sinned. Surely we must each acknowledge that we have sinned, and we have sinned not only against one another, but far more importantly, we have sinned against Thee. Oh Lord, do grant that none may be left to continue in ignorance of this fact, for our ignorance does not change our condition. Oh Lord, we pray that we may know that we are sinners, and that we may indeed come before Thee today with a desire in our heart, as we have read, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Lord, we can go to no other to pardon us, to give us that mercy. Thou alone hast the words to forgive, the right and authority and the power to heal. Oh Lord, do grant then that we may come before Thee with that hope in our heart, that faith which is indeed Thy gift, to believe that Thou art not only able but willing and ready to save. Lord, we do pray then that we may each be touched by Thy Spirit. Lord, leave none to leave Thy house exactly as they have come, with indifference or unconcern, or with unfulfilled desires. Lord, where there have been those cries from seeking souls unto Thee, to pray for Thy blessing, for some token, for good to their soul, Lord, do not let them leave without it. And do grant that there may be a blessing, a portion for everyone. Lord, we read in Thy word how Thou didst feed the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled. Lord, we would not limit Thy power this day. Lord, may each soul eat and be filled through Thy word, we pray. We do ask, Lord, that where there are particular needs, particular burdens perhaps, difficulties in the pathway, we pray that these may be brought unto Thee with a prayerful spirit. And Lord, may we be diligent in our prayers and know that Thou art able to deliver us from every difficulty and every problem, whatever it may be, however impossible it may be to us or to others. Yet, Lord, with Thee there is nothing that shall be impossible. Oh, give us faith, Lord, as we plead with Thee, truly to believe what we are saying. Deliver us, Lord, from the prayer of the hypocrite, the prayer of the man that wavers in his heart, not truly believing that thou wilt do those things that we ask. For we are solemnly told, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. We do ask then that we may be given that true spirit of prayer in our heart, that earnestness that some of those we read of in thy word showed, and when they were faced with such difficulties, so many enemies round about them, and they committed their way unto thee, they believed that thou wouldest arise for their deliverance. Lord, give us such a spirit of prayer this day, we ask. We do pray then that there may be that abundant blessing upon thy word. Lord, we have read of one of those occasions when there was a great famine, and thy prophet said what an abundance would come, and there were those that scorned and mocked and said it could not be. Oh Lord, may we not be in such a position this day to doubt thee and to doubt thy power. Lord, come and shed that abundant blessing, that there shall not be room enough to contain it. Lord, we would pray for the young that are here this day. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon them as they set out in life's journey. We ask that thou be with them in their school life and in every part of life to guide and direct them. Lord, do give them that understanding of thy word, and do help them to rely upon it. May they be much in prayer to thee in respect of all their needs, those times when they need help in some particular lesson or exam or some difficulty, or times perhaps when they are teased and persecuted because of their religion. Oh Lord, we ask that thou wilt be near and help them. We have read of the solemnity of offending one of these little ones that believe in thy name. Oh, we pray that thou wilt deliver them and stand by them and help them. Be a very present help in time of trouble. And Lord, as those of us that are older and occupied with business and other matters, Lord, we also depend upon thee. We pray that we may not indeed feel to grow self-sufficient, for we know that none are sufficient for these things. Lord, do help us also to pray our way along and to know thy daily help, and that when we have so many decisions to make and perhaps do not know what is the right thing to do, oh Lord, do come with a power to guide us, to direct our words and our thoughts to that which is right in thy sight. Lord, any that are older and perhaps feel greatly the burdens of life, oh, we pray that thou wilt still be with them. Lord, what a comfort is thy word to know that thou wilt never leave nor forsake thy people. May we not doubt thee in this matter, but Lord, may there be a light in the soul even at eventide of life. We do pray that thou wilt remember in mercy our country. Lord, we would commit unto thee our Queen and her family and those in government over us. We, Lord, are very much aware that so few appear to fear thy name. We ask that thou wilt cause to come into such positions of power and authority those that do fear thy name. Or, Lord, thou art able to even to work in the hearts of those that have those positions now, may perhaps never have known thee. But Lord, no heart is too hard for thee to work. Oh, we do pray then that thou wilt arise for our deliverance in the nation. Stem the tide of sin and evil that so increases. Lord, may there be a frustration of efforts to bring into law those things that are contrary to thy law, to thy word. Lord, do help those that do speak up and do stand fast for thy truth. May their voice yet be heard. Lord, do use them as thy servants, as instruments in thy hand for the turning again of the nation. Lord, do lead us back unto thyself. And may we indeed repent of all this sin and turn again unto thee, to take with us words, words of confession, words of humble confession before thee, that we are guilty, but to plead for thy mercy yet, and that thy judgments may yet be spared, or we may be spared from those judgments. Lord, we do think of the family of that soldier killed this week, and though there is that prominence to that case, no doubt there have been others in other parts of the world also. Lord, do remember those that this day are bereaved of a husband, a father, a son. Lord, do remember them and do use these things for good. Lord, we again have read of the suddenness of thy second coming, and also there is that suddenness of death being taken from life to eternity so swiftly. Lord, do use these things as a lesson to teach us all, that we each might be prepared and made ready for that time, not knowing when it shall be for any of us. Lord, we do then pray that as we come to thy word, Lord, do shine upon it. Do give us light and understanding. Do give us a knowledge of what we read there. And Lord, may it not just may it not just be a knowledge in our head, but may there be the application of thy word. Lord, thou knowest we cannot do these things ourselves. We cannot bless one another. But Lord, do thou descend and in mercy give that application. Give that power upon thy word. Do give liberty to us each, whether to one in speaking or to all that hear. Oh Lord, how we need thee to work in our hearts, to prepare us both to speak thy word and to hear it. And Lord, may it be all done to the glory and honour of thy name. And do bless the hymns that we sing. Do be with those that have the responsibility of choosing them. And Lord, thou knowest how important is this responsibility. We pray for our brothers that have that task. Lord, do show that thou art in the choice, that indeed it is thy choice, as it were, that these things are done at thy direction. Lord, do enable us to join together in union of heart and spirit as we sing these hymns that are chosen. May there be that flowing together in every part of the service, as we have felt with that first hymn. Lord, may it indeed be so, for we know that if there is that blessing upon these things, it is of thee. It is that confirmation and a token that thou indeed art with us. So, Lord, we pray that thou wilt hear us. Remember us in mercy. Do pardon every sin. We would ask it all for Christ's sake. Amen.
hymn number 239. The Lamb is exalted, repentance to give, that sin may be hated while sinners believe. Contrition is granted and God justified. The sinner is humbled and self is denied. Hymn 239.
In complete dependence upon the Lord for his much needed help, I would direct your thoughts especially this morning to Luke chapter 17 and also verse 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 17. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? It is especially this latter clause that has been in my thoughts all the week since last Sunday evening. Where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Now, before we come directly to considering those particular words, I want, as the Lord may help us, to look at this whole account of these 10 lepers. We read how that Jesus was on a journey down to Jerusalem in the south of the country, but needed to pass through Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into this certain village. We don't know, we're not told where exactly this was. But it was a place where Jesus had a work to perform. There was no coincidence that he came to this place, was it? I know it is a phrase that is used very frequently in the scriptures, but we should not pass it by. He came to a certain village. There was a certain purpose for Jesus to be there at that particular moment. And as he approached that village, evidently on the outskirts of the village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Now, it is very clear that one of those 10 men was a Samaritan. I think it is safe to say from the implication of the word here that the other 9 were not. They were Jews of the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. Now, you may well know, and we should just remind ourselves, that there was enmity between the Samaritans and the Jews. Had its historic origin in the time after King Solomon, when the kingdom of Israel was divided in two, and the northern kingdom, which is sometimes called the kingdom of Israel and sometimes is referred to as Samaria, they actually at different times they came to warfare with the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. And much of the Old Testament, of course, is taken up with the chronicles of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. And the other reason why there was so much enmity was that the northern kingdom, when it was taken over, conquered by the Assyrians, many of the people of Samaria intermarried with the Assyrians, which was, of course, against what God had commanded, that they should marry amongst them, amongst the people of God. And so there was that feeling of hostility between, excuse me, between the two kingdoms. But it is evident here that though this one man amongst the 10 was a Samaritan, they were a group together. There does not appear to have been any hostility between these 10 men. And I think that that is something that is worthy of our notice. Why was there no hostility between them? Well, surely it was this: they were all in the same condition. They were all lepers. Actually, I've been thinking much of that hymn. You know, I must just direct you to it, 816. Because it sums up this first thing that really struck me about this account. When is it Christians all agree and let distinctions fall? When, nothing in themselves, they see that Christ is all in all. But strife and difference will subsist while men will something seem. Let them but singly look to Christ, and all are one in him. Now, what is clear here is that they all look to Christ. They were all lepers. They all felt their need. And I want to come to this in more detail in a moment, but we notice first of all that leprosy in the scripture is very often given to us as an illustration of sin. So as we consider this account in its spiritual aspect, they all realized that they were sinners. They all had in their heart that conviction that they were sinners, that they were in need. And they therefore had no differences. They were not arguing or striving between themselves, though one was a Samaritan. They all were, as we might say, they were in the same condition, the same place. They had the same need. So there met him 10 men that were lepers. And then we notice that they stood afar off. Now again, the explanation of that is, of course, that leprosy was a very contagious disease. It was spread by contact. And by the law, they were forbidden to go inside the village. And that is clearly why they were on the outskirts of the village here. They were not allowed to enter in. They were not fit, as it were, for society. Now, they stood, therefore, afar off. Just say, for the interest particularly of the younger ones, if you go to the village of Newport in Essex, not very far away, you can see on the outskirts, if you approach it from the Cambridge direction, you'll find on the outskirts of the village a stone pillar, not very high, which is called the Leper Stone. And that was the place, again, you see on the outskirts of the village, where people from the village would leave gifts for those who were lepers. They might, as I understand it, either have left money to support the leper hospital that was close by, or they might have left food or other gifts directly for the lepers. But you see, they had to stand afar off. They couldn't come into the village. Now, that reminded me especially because we see in the heart of these 10 men evidently a spirit of prayer. It reminded me of that parable that Jesus spoke concerning the Pharisee and the publican. Now, the Pharisee was one who, and remember, it was to these people who Jesus spoke the parable. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. As if it wasn't bad enough that they thought they themselves were righteous, they also despised others. Now, the Pharisee, we read, he stood and prayed thus with himself. And that's significant, isn't it? Really, he was not praying to God or with God. He was praying with himself. He wanted his voice to be heard, and no doubt in their custom he would have stood and spread his arms out wide so that everyone knew he was praying, and so on. Now, he said, God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. In other words, I'm not a leper. I'm not in need of anything at all. I'm completely self-sufficient. And he boasted of his condition. very solemn that he was a sinner, because all are sinners. He was in that sense a leper, but he did not realize it. He didn't acknowledge it before God. But the publican, we read, standing afar off. He didn't feel that he was fit to come, as it were, into society. He knew he was an outcast. He knew he was afar off. He couldn't lift up so much as his eyes, let alone his hands, unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, you see how that prayer that he offered up echoes the words of these 10 lepers. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Through the Holy Spirit we feel that conviction of sin, when we are brought to realize what is our condition in the sight of a holy and a just God, will there not be that cry for mercy? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, Jesus said to them, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, in the case of a person who had leprosy, the priest had a very vital role to play. You can read of this especially in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. There the priest was the one who had to examine a person and pronounce whether they were a leper or whether they were not. Now, as I've said, leprosy represents the sin in the heart. Now, just to look at very briefly at some of the symptoms of leprosy, and you can see how they illustrate sin. The first thing was that it might arise as just a small spot, a small rising, a scab, a bright spot in the skin of the flesh. And surely the teaching is this: sin often seems to spring from something very small at first, doesn't it? Just like a little spot in the skin. Not really very much, perhaps something you think, well, I can cover that up, I can turn my collar up or pull my sleeve down a bit further or put it out of sight. No one will notice. And often it can be like that with sin, can't it? We may think, oh, it's just a little thing, not really very visible. No one else will notice if I do this thing. It can be easily covered up. But what is the next symptom? Well, it spreads much abroad. In other words, it quickly becomes bigger, quickly becomes much more serious. Now it can't be covered up, can't be hidden. It spreadeth much abroad, we read. And again, that is sin, isn't it? That is, and again, it may be like that when we are convicted of our sin. We may at first, as it were, only notice a few smaller things, as it were, about ourselves. But as the work is deepened, as the Holy Spirit teaches us more and more, we come to see there is sin in more and more of what we have done and what we have said. And again, something I want to come to, but especially in our thoughts, perhaps. Now, it spreads abroad. And then there was that symptom that leprosy was more than skin deep. You see, not something that could be easily brushed off, as it were. Or may we never think of sin lightly. Never think that we can brush away our sins. It's more than skin deep. Goes right, as it were, into us, into our soul. And there were various other symptoms of leprosy, you may like to read them, as I say, Leviticus chapter 13, and think of them in that way. But the conclusion of it really was this, that the priest would have to pronounce upon each case. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white, reddish, he is a leprous man, he is unclean, the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. The plague is in his head. And as I say, that made me think of how much I'm sure most of us, through our upbringing and the values and so on that have been part of our life, we may well have been kept mercifully from many, many outward sins. But let us never think that that makes us righteous. It is that which is comes from within us, in our mind, our sinful thoughts. The plague is in his head. The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Is that the cry of some here this morning, feeling the burden and the weight, the guilt of your sin? And your description of yourself has to be this, unclean, unclean, not fit, not worthy. And it goes on, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without, means, of course, outside the camp shall his habitation be. You see, again, why they were afar off. Perhaps one here feels to be in that place, afar off from the people of God. Perhaps they seem so much better to you than you feel yourself to be. And perhaps afar off from God, feeling, well, I'm so guilty, I'm so unclean, I'm so thoroughly defiled by this sin. Surely not even God will take notice of me. He shall dwell outside the camp. Now, you see, Jesus did take notice of them. And he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. And as I've said, there were two roles that the priest had to perform. The first, as we've seen, was the identification and confirmation of that leprosy. And, of course, the Word of God confirms to us that we are guilty sinners. But the second role of the priest was, obviously in appropriate circumstances, to pronounce that someone was healed or clean from that leprosy. And this points us to Jesus himself. Their cry was to Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, go show yourselves unto the priests. The epistle to the Hebrews tells us a great deal. It is a very instructive book in terms of interpreting the Old Testament to us. I spoke to the young people last week at home about the various sacrifices, and we saw there how the epistle to the Hebrews interprets for us some of the meaning of some of those sacrifices. But another great theme of that epistle is the role of Jesus Christ as a priest. Not, of course, literally a priest in the sense of the ceremonial role. He was not of the tribe of Levi, of course, but of the tribe of Judah. But Paul there speaks much of Christ as the priest. And in chapter 7 we read this, but this man, this is referring to Jesus, But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, that is, was appropriate or was suitable for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, that is, under the ceremonial law, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. Christ, of course, did not need to do that. He was not a sinner. But he did offer that sacrifice, for this he did once, when he offered up himself. Now, for those who, by the work of the Holy Spirit, feel themselves to be in this guilty, leprous condition, this is the answer, isn't it? Go, show thyself unto the priest. This holy, harmless, undefiled priest, he alone is the one that can pronounce a pardon, that can pronounce a forgiveness, that can say. You see how suitable this word is. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that is the outermost, the furthest away. Now, these 10 men, you see, they were standing far off. There was no hope for them, was there? Not naturally speaking. There was no known cure for leprosy. They had no hope under any nature or under the law. But they looked to Christ. Jesus, have mercy on us. He is able to save even those who are the furthest away. In that hymn that we sung, both the hymns we've sung have spoken of this feeling of guilt, haven't they? And I think it was in the middle hymn, it spoke about the vilest sinner. Ah, the one who is furthest away, the uttermost, the outermost, the outcast. He is able to save. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now, you see, they were on their way to the priest, weren't they? They were coming to the priest when they were healed. That is very wonderful, isn't it? As they went, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, I want to come then more directly to this 17th verse. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They had all received a very great blessing, hadn't they? We who are not really in any danger of contracting leprosy, we perhaps have never seen it ourselves, perhaps we may have seen pictures of those suffering, but we cannot really imagine what a terrible disease it was. But for those that knew it and experienced it, it was a very terrible thing. But they were healed. A very wonderful thing had happened to them through the mercy and the grace of God. Now, you see, it was so with those 4 lepers we read in the second book of Kings concerning another group of lepers, didn't we? There were 4 of them. They, again, you see, were outside the city. They were not allowed in it. But they rose and they went to the camp of the Syrians. And they found there that God had very wonderfully delivered the city of Samaria from the Syrians, had caused the Syrian army to hear a great noise and to think that they were being attacked by larger forces, and so they fled and ran away. And we read how that those lepers came to the camp, and they ate and drank, and they carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. And I think of these, this silver and the gold, as the blessings of God in providence. Silver, as you know, is a precious metal. It is of considerable value, but it tarnishes. It can become corrupted. But gold is a pure metal, more valuable, much more precious, and pure gold can never be contaminated. Think of those as the providential blessings and the spiritual blessings that God gives to each one of his people. But you see, very solemnly, though these four lepers, they received these wonderful things, they went and hid them. There was no glory to God in that, was there? Nobody knew that they'd received these things. They were not visible anymore. They were hidden away. Very solemn, but very easy for us to do that, to hide away the blessings that we have received at the hand of God. But you see, mercifully, they came to realize their error. They said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." And we know how that they did do that. They went back to the city of Samaria, and they told the porters, and the message came indeed to the king's household. And what joy and rejoicing followed. Now, if they had kept all those things and left them hidden, then there would have been no rejoicing, would there? There would have been no communication of that good news, the glad tidings. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Now, you see, they knew "we do not well." They knew that that was not a good thing to do. Now, Jesus says here, you see, there were 10 lepers here who received a very wonderful blessing at the hand of God. But only one of them realized, as it were, that he did not well in keeping quiet about it. And he came back and he worshipped Christ. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. If we'd have seen those 10 men, and especially if we'd have been one of the Jews in those days, this is the one the least likely we would have expected to return. A Samaritan, surely not. But you see how wonderfully God works. Now, there are many exhortations in Scripture to us each to speak of the things that God has done for us. Now, this does have its application to those coming to testify before the church, to tell the king's household. And it has that application, and it should have. And I ask you, in love, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9 today? We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. But you know, it's not limited to that. All the Lord's people should be frequently speaking of what the Lord has done for them. We should never think, and it saddens me when we come across this spirit, that to give our testimony as to what the Lord has done for us, it seems with some to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It should not be like that. Think of the book of the prophecy of Malachi. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, not once in their lifetime, but often. And it was worth recording. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. They were things that were worth sharing, worth encouraging one another, worth speaking together. Now, most of all, it is to the glory of God. There is a comfort and an encouragement, and we read in the epistles, edify one another. That means build one another up. There is that important aspect, but most of all, it is to the glory and honour of God that we should speak one to another of what God has done for us. Psalm 103, very familiar words, but how often have we just passed them by? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We could say, hide not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. These are not small things that God has done for us, are they? They're not little things that are not really worthy of attention. Far, far from it. What more could he do than to heal this disease of sin felt so much in our hearts? Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There is an exhortation there, isn't there? It seems to me there is an urgency to that exhortation, as if David realized, and no doubt he felt it in his own heart, how easily we do forget the benefits of God and how quickly we go on to our next request. And this is something that, again, I think much of. We read in the Epistle to the Philippians this exhortation. Well, two there, really, close together in chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now, Paul didn't write that through the Holy Spirit causing Paul to write it. It's not there to fill up the page, is it? It's there because it's important that we should do it. Important that we should remember it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. But he also goes on to say this, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, if you're anything like me, we often have the first two parts of that exhortation in mind, by prayer and supplication. Yes, we have many requests to make to God. We feel very much our different needs, and yes, we may be often in prayer, but where's the thanksgiving? Where is the remembrance of his mercy? Where is the acknowledgement of his healing? Where is the glory and honour to his name for prayers that he has already answered? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, if you look at that, you'll see it says in everything, not just once, as it were, occasionally, but in everything there should be thanksgiving. In everything there should be an acknowledgement of what the Lord has done. And he goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, is there nothing for which we should return to give thanks unto God? As if, again, I think of it like this, have we not received 10 blessings from God? And we've only given thanks for one. Where are the 9? Where in your prayers, where in your praise of God are the other nine blessings? Have you forgotten them? Are they out of mind? Are they taken for granted? Are they quickly forgotten? Where are the nine? And then, just in conclusion, the psalmist, I don't think, I'm not actually told who wrote this Psalm 66, but it is a very wonderful acknowledgement there of the wonderful deliverances of God. It commences like this: make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honour of his name. Make his praise glorious. And I commend you to read that Psalm 66. You'll see there many acknowledgements of the wonderful works of God. How they were tried, how they were proved, but God delivered them out of all those things. And the conclusion of the psalm is this: come and hear. Now, you can't hear something that isn't being spoken, can you, in this sense? You can't hear the thoughts of someone. If they would make in their heart this excuse, well, yes, in my mind I'm praising God and I'm being thankful. Well, nobody can hear that, can they? The word of God is this, and this isn't my word, this is the word of God. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled, that is, he was praised with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Now, surely, in essence, we don't know, of course, exactly what this Samaritan man said, but surely, in essence, it was this: blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. What was his prayer? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Oh, the Lord heard it, didn't he? He heard that prayer. He answered that prayer. Now, they all had received a wonderful blessing from God, but only this man was found in a right spirit, returning to give thanks and to praise and to worship God. Now may the Lord put in the hearts of every one of us who have received such a blessing, a desire to honour him with this praise. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? May the Lord add his blessing and forgive anything I've said amiss. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £820, for which we are very thankful. And I remind you, the collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. God willing, Mr. Warboys will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day, who will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service, God willing. And we hope to hold a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day. A national day of prayer has been called because of the attack on God's creation ordinance of marriage in our Parliament. Let us close with hymn 755. Forgiveness, 'tis a joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. Lord, may this bliss in me be found. May I redeeming grace enjoy. Hymn 755.
Thank you.
do desire to acknowledge all thy goodness and all thy many blessings and benefits toward us each. Lord, do have mercy upon us still, we pray. Do put that right spirit within our hearts that has that desire, that ardour, as we have sung, to praise thy name. For indeed, Lord, thou art worthy of endless blessing, endless praise. Lord, do help us truly to worship thee every day in our lives, in all things, to acknowledge with thanksgiving what thou hast done, especially, Lord, where there is that thankfulness for what thou hast done for our soul. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.